Yep. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So, you know, I'm looking at this Brett Kavanaugh guy, and it's interesting to me that, you know, during the Clinton years, one of the guys going, let's go get him, and then says, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't be probing presidential candidates after the fact, or maybe we shouldn't be going after the president. So I'm kind of curious how you balance the two of those. While you were part of what was really a giant witch hunt, and now you're saying, no, we can't do that. I mean, it's bizarre to me, but here to share some thoughts on, and maybe can clear it up for me. I've asked Daniel Goldberg to come talk with us. He's the legal director over at the Alliance for Justice. Daniel Goldberg, thanks for taking time for us.
Honored to be on the show.
So do you see some kind of craziness there that, you know, during the Clinton years, he was with the star people, you know, full tilt boogie going after him. And now this, you know, these writings of, you know, you can't go after the president.
Well, Brett Kavanaugh is a partisan Republican who has spent his entire career serving the wealthy and the powerful over everyday Americans. Who is being put on the court by the Federalist Society, the Heritage Foundation, dark money, to side with big banks, side with cable companies, side with insurance companies. And he meets a key litmus test of President Trump. President Trump has said he wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act. He can't do it through Congress. So he is putting on the court a judge who will do his bidding and take away health care from millions of people. So going back to his time with Ken Starr, he also represented George Bush during Bush v. Gore. He represented, when he was at a law firm, Jeb Bush. This is a person who is a creature of the Republican Party, who is being on the put on the court to advance clear ideological purposes of the wealthy and the powerful. The stakes could not be higher for the American people during this fight here on whether they are going to have somebody who sides with corporations and the big guy or with everyday Americans. And that's why this is such a critical fight for the next generation.
I'm with you. But, you know, all I keep seeing is that he's such a nice guy, Daniel. You know, he coaches girls basketball. How bad can he be? He's good in the carpool lane. How bad can he be?
Well, you know, that's not what I've seen. I think that's the image that they're trying to portray. But he can't portray himself as anything but a creature of the Washington, D.C. swamp. He went to Georgetown Prep School. He went to Yale. He went to Yale Law School. And he was at a D.C. law firm before working for Ken Starr, of all people, and then went to the Bush White House. He was in the West Wing of the George W. Bush White House when incredibly untoward actions were happening, whether torture, detainee treatment, and wiretapping. And I think a key part of the hearing will be accessing the George W. Bush library records to see what are his fingerprints on. Because I think you'll notice throughout his career, again, going back to his time with Ken Starr, all the way up through the horrific decisions he's had as on the D.C. court, where he's repeatedly sided against the American people and against the law, that I think we'll see that he has one consistent trait throughout his career, and that's siding with the powerful, the wealthy over everyday Americans.
So, you know, but I look at this and, you know, I'll be honest, as I was reading through all the backgrounds of the different justices, they were all bad. I mean, there was nothing good in any of them. So for me, it was, you know, who could be torpedoed? And, you know, you brought up, you know, the Starr time, you brought up, you know, the Bush years. It seems to me that there should be something, if due diligence is done and a thorough vetting process happens, there should be a lot of questions about this guy. In fact, you know, I'm hearing rumors already that there's stuff that's going to start coming out very soon. I'm curious your thought.
Well, you know, his record is very, very clear on the number one issue facing the American people, health care. When he has been a judge on the D.C. Circuit, he has had the opportunity to uphold the Affordable Care Act in multiple cases. And each time he disagreed with the majority of his colleagues and dissented and would not have upheld the Affordable Care Act. And this is not a hypothetical. The Trump administration, the Trump Justice Department, has filed a brief in a Texas court that argues that the provision of the Affordable Care Act that protects people with pre-existing conditions from being discriminated against is unconstitutional. According to the Washington Post, if the Trump Justice Department has its way, 50 million Americans will lose their health insurance. That's people who have diabetes, pregnant women, people who are cancer survivors. And Donald Trump has point blank said he will nominate people to the bench, to the Supreme Court, who agree with him that the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional. So what this fight for the Supreme Court is really life or death for millions of people. And I'm confident that when people realize the stakes here, not just for health care, but for women's reproductive rights, for LGBTQ equality, for whether we can hold banks accountable. Judge Kavanaugh ruled that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was unconstitutional. He has sided with insurance companies. One thing that I know people care deeply about is a free and open Internet, and he sided with cable companies. If he had his way, net neutrality would have been ruled illegal and unconstitutional. So we're very confident that people aren't going to be fooled by the fact that he coaches his daughter's basketball team, that when they look at his record, they will see that he is not on their side. This is not the Constitution they believe in, and he will roll back so many protections for so many people. And we're confident that when people stand up and realize their health care is seriously in jeopardy, they'll make it known to their elected officials that this is not somebody who should be on the court.
No, I'm right there with you. But, you know, the other thing that I've been talking about, and I've talked about on the program for years, and while I'm not a legal expert, I've done enough of reading on the Lochner era to know that we're heading right back for it. Anything going forward on minimum wage or maximum hours or safety, or you just go down the list, will eventually be, in my view, done away with, and basically, you know, the entire 20th century done away with, and we'll be right back to those days where, you know what, Daniel, if you're desperate enough and your kids are hungry enough to work for poverty wages in horrible conditions, well, that's your liberty or your freedom to do. And I'll be honest, those were ugly times, and I fear ugly times again.
You're exactly right on that point. What this is about is the wealthy and powerful cannot accomplish through the legislative process curtailing rights and legal protection. They tried to repeal health care through Congress, and the American people were galvanized. And even with a Republican-controlled Senate and Republican-controlled House, they could not take away health care from millions of people. So they want to put people on the court who will do it for them. You're exactly right. They can't, if they introduce a bill to eliminate the minimum wage, eliminate OSHA protections for safe working conditions, eliminate protections for clean air and clean water, they would be laughed out of Congress. But instead, they want to put a judge on the Supreme Court whose entire career has been about serving the wealthy and the powerful, and expect that judge will, for the next 30 or 40 years, repeal the entire 20th century legal protection. So you could not be more right, and that's why the stakes could not be higher.
So what do we do? I mean, look, the reality is, you know, the math is what it is. There are three Democrats who are going to be a little squishy in the shoes. You've got maybe a Republican, maybe two, who might say, you know what, we're not going to allow Roe to go by the wayside. How do you see this playing out? Because, as I'm looking at it, I don't like to be too pessimistic, but the road to blocking this, unless he's got, a dead hooker or some live boys in his past, I don't see much stopping him from being seated on the bench. Look, what are your thoughts?
I look back to the healthcare fight, where people said that the Republicans have control of both houses of Congress and Obamacare is as good as dead. And what happened is the American people were galvanized. It wasn't people in Washington that that saved health insurance for millions of people. It was millions of people around the country galvanizing, going to their congressman's office, going to their senator's offices, placing the phone calls, doing the op-ed, making clear that their America is one where the, millions of people have protections under health care, under critical health care legislation. And at the end of the day, even the Republicans who had the numbers in the Senate, three voted no and kept Obamacare in place. And the same thing can happen here, that if the American people are galvanized, realize what the stakes are for the next 30 or 40 years and make clear to their elected officials that they need to vote no on Brett Kavanaugh, we can win. And I point back to not just health care, but Robert Bork. The American people made it clear that Robert Bork's America was not their America. The Senate voted him down, and they ended up with a more consensus nominee, Anthony Kennedy.
Right.
And while Anthony Kennedy had certainly throughout his career a number of, he was very conservative, he was not as conservative as Robert Bork. And, in fact, he maintained Roe v. Wade and expanded the rights of LGBTQ Americans. So that's what we think can happen here. The American people have to make it clear that Brett Kavanaugh is unacceptable for the Supreme Court.
You're somebody who's been doing this a long time, and you've kind of got a handle on this. I was thinking about Bork today, and I was going, you think back to that, how extreme he was at that moment. In today's world, where would Bork be on the crazy scale? I mean, because I was really thinking about this. I go, he was far off on the fringe, but the Republican Party was much more to the left than they are now. Where would Bork be? Would he be a mainstream Democrat today, based on what's happened with our politics in this massive shift, or would he be just as crazy?
He would be just as extreme.
Okay.
I mean, Robert Bork's America was taking the country back and eliminating 20th century protections in civil rights and consumer rights and worker rights, et cetera. But that's who Brett Kavanaugh is. He might appear more reasonable, but if you look at Brett Kavanaugh's record, it's an extreme record. He is an outlier on the D.C. circuit, and throughout his career, he has attacked one legal protection after another, whether that's rights of women, whether that's civil rights and voting rights, or whether it's consumer protection and protections for the environment. So I think that Brett Kavanaugh, make no mistake about it, if he's on the Supreme Court, he will end up being one of the most extreme justices in modern history. And combine that with Neil Gorsuch, who we've already seen this year eviscerate critical rights for workers and voting rights and rights for LGBTQ Americans, that joining those the other conservatives on the court, the stakes could not be higher for the next 30 or 40 years.
No, I'm with you. Let me ask you this, because I've gotten, I don't know if you are getting this, but all of the trolls and all of the MAGA folks are going, we won, and we're going to get our guy, and I can't help but look at a working class person who's going to celebrate this person on the court. I can't look at them without going, do you have any clue of what the future holds with someone like this on the bench? And I'm kind of struggling with not wanting to just just smack somebody upside the back of the head and go, do you really know where we're going? Am I just being hyperbolic and way off the end?
No, I think that's exactly right. And I do have to say, I think this is an education moment. Look, most people can't name all nine Supreme Court justices. Most people don't think about Supreme Court cases. Except maybe they've heard of Roe v. Wade, they've heard of Brown v. Board of Education. But I think we're seeing through the president's assaults on the court, his criticism and his attacks on the rule of law and judges who are holding him accountable, that you're seeing Americans galvanized when he attacks our constitutional basic concepts of equality under the law and go to airports to defend immigrants. And we've seen people galvanize and stand up for the Constitution when they go down to the border and say, this is not how we treat children in the United States. That I think that this is a huge education moment that can make it real for the American people why these protections that we've been fighting for the last decades are so critical, because they're really at risk now. Whether it's the right to health care, whether it's the right to reproductive freedom, whether it's equality for LGBTQ Americans, I think people now are realizing that many of the rights they took for granted are seriously at risk. So I think this is a huge education moment to galvanize the American people to stand up for our Constitution, not the Federalist Society's Constitution, not the Constitution that the dark money people are trying to buy a Supreme Court seat for.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let me ask you last line of questioning, because you brought up the Federalist Society, and as I understand, the majority of them are of the original intent ideal. And I've said that, you know, basically those folks who espouse the original intent idea, you know, want, you know, blacks back in the fields, 3/5 of a person, women back in the kitchen with no right to vote, gays back in the closet, and white landowning, land of gentry type white males running the show. Curious your thoughts.
Well, I think this is exactly about rolling back the clock. As you alluded to, for the 20th century, the 20th century has been about expanding equality, expanding legal protections for the American people. Whether that's ensuring that workers can get a fair wage and can be safe when they go to work each day, whether that's about equality for women, for LGBTQ Americans, or that African Americans have equality in the workplace and at the voting booth. And what you're seeing are the forces of reaction who want to eviscerate and erode these critical values. And quite frankly, it's a minority of the country trying to take back their country, quote unquote, their country. They can't do it through the electoral process. They can't win elections anymore and advance their agenda. So they're trying to buy a Supreme Court seat for the next generation.
It's going to be very, very difficult to stop this, but the hope is, as you're right, people get out in the streets as they were today. They continue. They call their representatives early. They call them often. Call other people's representatives. They call their senators and say, stop this. That's the way forward. Daniel Goldberg, I appreciate you taking time for us.
Thank you very much for having me on, and have a good evening.
Good stuff. I'd love to have you back again real soon. Again, you can check out their stuff. We'll get links at thericksmithshow.com. He's the legal director over at the Alliance for Justice. Quick break, right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.